Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Pop the popcorn, put on your comfiest pajamas, and grab a drink because it's time for a new episode of Sierra Unfiltered. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 33. I think, of Sierra Unfiltered. We've got Skylar here again on a virtual hangout thing.
Woo-woo! That makes hey, friends!
That makes me sound like such... I'm going to say an old lady because I know some people don't like when people make fun of boomers, but I was going to say that makes me sound like such a boomer that we're on...
But I feel... I mean, I guess this is maybe a hot take. I feel like it's okay to make fun of boomers if you also make fun of millennials and Gen Z... And I think Milo is Generation Alpha or something. Ooh. I don't know.
I agree. I think as a millennial, hit me with the millennial jokes. Tell me that I have avocado toast every day and yada, yada, yada. Like, tell me. It's fine. But then you also got to be okay with me making fun of everyone else.
Like, I agree that if you only make fun of the boomers, then that's bullying. Like, that's not okay. You have to make fun of yourself, too. You have to be in on the joke.
If you gotta dish out the jokes of your generation, you gotta take them.
Agreed.
Well, before we get into our hot takes, there is a very pressing, absolutely pressing piece of news that we have to talk about. And that is Skylar having her first White Claw.
Okay, so I knew we were going to do this, and I thought that's what you were saying. And then you started saying that it was news. And so then I thought you were going to, like, give me some news, and I didn't know what it could be. And wow, that was a roller coaster ride
for all
of us. Stop
the presses. The most important thing right now is Skylar having her first taste of White Claw.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
I'm excited. I told Sierra... We were, like, FaceTiming for 2 seconds briefly to get this call started. I didn't really know what flavor to pick. We had lime in our fridge because Kyle will drink all the flavors. But I'm not really a lime person, so I picked black cherry. I don't really know. But I have it here. And I'm ready.
I'm so excited. Here's the thing. I don't drink White Claw as much as I used to just because I really stopped drinking when we started trying. And now just on occasion when I'm not in my 2 week wait, we'll have a beverage. But Skylar texted me today and she was like, "Hey, do you want to have a glass of wine on the podcast?" And at the same exact time after I had said, "Yeah, let's do it," I was typing, "I might have a White Claw. Maybe you could have a drink of one for the first time on the podcast." And she typed, "Oh my gosh, should I have a White Claw for the first time on the podcast?"
We're just in sync.
Even though we're social distancing, our brains are not. They're still interconnected.
Sister, sister.
All right.
Just to clarify, we're not sisters, though. I feel like people make that mess up a lot. Or not mess up. They just get confused. And I get it. We're both like, I don't know. We kind of look alike and we kind of talk alike and we're not sisters.
I feel like you would definitely be the older sister who's like not only older in age, but also just like 300 times more mature and always has to like clean up the like physical and metaphorical messes that the younger sister makes.
I mean, I don't know about that. I was with you because I'm like the oldest of siblings and you're the middle child. So I feel like that dynamic kind of works. I don't know if I would say I have to clean up your messes. I feel like you have your stuff together. You guys just bought another house and I don't know. You've got it going, girl.
Well, maybe I need to toot my own horn a little bit more, but I am a hot mess. That used to be my nickname in theater, was Hot Mess.
Hot Mess?
Yeah, that's what Randy used to call me. He'd be like, hey, Hot Mess, get over here.
Is that a nickname?
I guess.
Or is that like, did he call you that enough to where it was your nickname?
I mean, there was like three of us who he would call Hot Messes, but like, if he said Hot Mess, I would turn my head and respond.
I mean, I love that for you.
All right, we're building so much tension. Are you ready?
Okay. So I was debating cracking it open beforehand just to like get a taste. I didn't.
Good.
So are you ready, everyone?
So ready.
I pumped for this. So. Okay, so also, I don't really know the proper White Claw etiquette. I feel like you just drink it out of the can, but I know I enjoy drinks a lot more when they're over ice. So I prepped a cup of ice to pour it in. Is that blasphemous?
Nope. Totally acceptable. The only rule, whatever container you want to drink it out of, totally fine. The only White Claw etiquette is before you take a sip, you have to say, ain't no laws when you're drinking claws.
You know what, Sierra? There ain't no laws when you're drinking claws, baby.
Woo! I have waited for this moment. Cheers.
Cheers. Wow. What are you drinking? A White Claw?
White Claw? What are you drinking?
A White Claw.
And what are you drinking, listeners at home? Let us know in the comments.
I mean, I was telling Sierra, this is the first time I've ever drank on the podcast. Because when we started the podcast, I was pregnant and hadn't announced it yet. And then I was pregnant the whole time we were filming, but also we always film at Sierra's house. So like, I'm not going to have a drink and then like drive home. So like, even once quarantine's over and we go back to filming in your studio, I won't be drinking.
Right.
Unless Kyle like drives me or something. So this is a very exciting day.
I'm so excited. All right. Give us your first impressions.
Also, I've only had like two drinks since postpartum. So I'm probably only going to drink a little bit of this. That way I don't get like tipsy talking about Tiger King. Okay, ready everyone?
We're ready.
That's actually pretty delicious. It's a lot more flavorful than I thought. Like, I like it.
You like
it? I thought, I don't like LaCroix. I don't like bubbly. I think I went through a phase where I tried to convince myself that I do, but I really don't. So I was kind of expecting this to be the same. I feel like I saw someone tweet once that having a LaCroix is like someone whispering in the other room the flavor of it. Like, lie. And I feel like I like flavors to kind of like
punch you in the face.
Yeah. And so I was expecting that, but it tastes like black cherry.
And
I'm excited.
Are you just saying that to not hurt my feelings?
I'm not just saying that. I feel like the more I drink it, the more I like it.
Oh, that.
I'm glad I went with the black cherry because I'm a big Shirley Temple fan. And it kind of tastes like I put grenadine in vodka.
Yeah.
Which, like, is a win.
That's a win.
In my books.
All right.
Oh, gosh.
You know what? I always forget to say this at the beginning of the episode, and I just remembered, so I'm going to say it now. If you are watching this on YouTube or listening to this on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, it helps us out a ton if you subscribe. Subscribers are such an important metric for pretty much any podcast or YouTuber you watch or even show that you watch. It really helps us out, and it's a great way to support us, and it's free. So if you want to subscribe to us on YouTube for the video version, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. If you want to give us a rating on Apple Podcasts, we would love that. And we really appreciate that. So thank you guys.
Woo! Speaking of which, another way in which you can connect with us, especially connect with Sierra, is her new Confident and Kind platform.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to talk about it a little bit? Because it's launched since we last podcasted.
Yeah. So we launched the Confident and Kind Facebook group, which I, for a long time, have really wanted a place where, like, not only I can connect with you guys, but you guys can connect with each other. Because one of my favorite things is when in the comments of one of my YouTube videos, there's like threads of people encouraging each other. But it doesn't feel as personal when it's on YouTube, because most people don't have a YouTube channel where you can go and see what they're about and see who they are and what their story is. So it's just kind of like a one time, you know, you got this, or you're beautiful, or you don't have to worry about that, or whatever. And so I thought about, like, everyone at YouTube is really pushing the YouTube memberships right now. So when I had expressed this idea, a lot of the people who work with my channel and help my channel were like, you should do memberships, make it a membership thing. Then you can have this community and charge people $4.99 or $3.99, or you can do Patreon or some sort of like pay platform for that. And I really wanted it to be free because I don't think I need to charge for that. I think I make enough from YouTube ads and sponsorships to sustain my channel and my team. I don't need people to pay to have a place to talk. I just wanted it to be free. So Jessica actually suggested doing a Facebook group, and we took it from there. So very excited that it is here and we can all chat and hang out and encourage each other. And we're still tweaking it and still figuring out the best way to moderate and keep everything really positive and helpful and fun. But it's been really fun. And I thought it was so sweet that you joined too.
Oh my gosh. And Kyle and everyone.
My mom
joined.
I feel
like it's so awesome. I'm so proud of you. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I saw the other day that there was like a thread going of like positive comments about you. It was like, comment like a kind fact about Sierra.
I was like reading through them.
Oh, I'll tag you in it. I was like reading through it and I was like, this is so sweet. And then I was scrolling through and then there was one about me and I literally just started bawling. I was all, Kyle, come over and read this. People are so nice.
I'm gonna start a thread about you on there tonight. I'm gonna be like, everyone comment.
But like a gossip thread. A mean thread. You're all, I heard you guys feel pretty positively about Skylar on here. Let me spill some tea.
Let's spill some tea. It'll be like Gossip Girl. I'll be like, S was spotted on the podcast drinking a black cherry White Claw.
Or you could just like Photoshop me into that page from the Burn Book in Mean Girls. This is the nastiest
skank bitch I have ever met. Do not trust her. That...
love that for us.
How is that not
in our friendship?
How is that not more of a meme? Like people just,
I don't know,
putting people.
I love the new Gossip Girl memes.
Oh, the Gossip
Girl. I'm sorry, memes. I keep interrupting you.
No, no, no.
I try so hard not to interrupt you, but I'm just so excited to talk to you.
Me too. When we had to FaceTime before this just to get everything set up, and we kept talking and then being like, wait, no, I shouldn't say that. We should wait till the podcast. Or like, because our default is just to spill our guts and talk about everything that's been going on.
Well, and especially, I feel like I always want to catch up with you, but I feel like I want to save some stuff for the podcast to talk about. Because, like, if I want to talk to you about something with Tiger King, like, I'm not going to text you. Or, like, with Listen to Your Heart, because I figure, like, we're probably going to talk about it. And I feel like the only adult that I get to talk to is Kyle, and he works 9 to 5.
Right.
So I'm really just talking to Milo, like, all day, who's a baby. And so I feel like... I'm so excited to have adult conversation. Not that I don't, like, love talking goo goo gaga, but.
Do you just sit there with Milo and you're like, did you watch the new episode of Tiger King? Yes.
Sometimes Kyle will, like, call me out because I'll start talking about really weird things. Because it's basically, like, I'm just talking to myself all day. Well, and, like, talking is such a good way for him to, obviously, be an early talker is... if I'm communicating with him, he'll want to communicate back to me. It's the same thing with, like, sticking my tongue out at him and whatever. But so it's just me talking to myself. And, like, I don't have anything going on in my life, really. Because it's not like I can be like, oh, let's talk about last weekend when we went to Disneyland.
Right.
So it's just, like, the weird stuff in the back of my brain.
I would love for that to be a podcast episode. Just all the weird stuff that Skylar said to her baby this week.
I don't know about that, but
but this whole episode is going to be about Tiger King.
Yes.
We were actually going to film this podcast a couple days ago, but we wanted to wait until the new episode came out because they I put episode in quotations because I don't know about you, but I was kind of disappointed in the new episode.
So I think the thing is, and I'm sure we'll get into it more later, I feel like their world is so crazy that they were saying crazy things, but it didn't feel crazy. Does that make sense? How many times can I say crazy in a sentence?
Do you know who was the host? Who was that guy?
Oh my gosh, Joel McHale.
What is he, like, who is he? What's his deal?
Okay, so back in, like, 2009-ish, he hosted a show called The Soup. Do you remember that at all? It was kind of, like, gossipy.
Okay.
It was, I think, like, E! News, but, like, a guy hosting it who's, like, kind of, like, sassy. But, like, kind of your everyman.
So, before watching this, because you knew who he was before and I didn't, did you have positive opinions of him?
Well, so that's the thing. I mean, I did not like him, but I was like, I didn't have extremely positive feelings. Like, he just, to me, he's like, he's who Chris Harrison was before I started getting into The Bachelor.
Okay.
Like, I knew he existed, wasn't going to be like, oh my God, Chris Harrison. But I don't know. But I feel like he did a pretty good job moderating.
See, I disagree, and we'll get into that. But I did not like him. Like, half my notes about the new episode are like, why did this host ask this question? This is so annoying.
Wait, that's so good. I'm so excited.
But we both rewatched Tiger King and then watched the new episode. And because I feel like, I don't know about you, but the first time I watched it was just like a binge whirlwind. Like, what the heck is going on? I have no idea what this is. This is crazy. All these twists and turns. And this time that I watched it, I had a different perspective because I knew what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, and also there were a lot of things that I feel like I misinterpreted the first time. Like, in the first episode, they casually drop that Joe is in jail for the murder of Carol Baskin, or for attempt at murder or whatever. But to me, the first time I was watching it, she's dead.
Yeah,
Scott. So I watched the entire series waiting for that to happen, and then it didn't happen. And so obviously it was like a huge thing when he got arrested still, but I was just waiting for her to die.
Yeah.
She didn't. And so I felt like a little bit, I don't know. So I feel like now this time watching it, I know the outcome. And so I was able to go into it knowing exactly what happens.
Right. Right. I'm very excited to get into this. I think, do you have a hot take today?
Do I? I do have a hot take.
Okay, cool. Let's do our hot takes and then we'll jump into Tiger King.
So my hot take is that you should leave haircuts and hair dyeing to the professionals. I know that it can.
Coming from the girl who dyed her hair multiple colors in her mom's bathroom with me.
Yes, my hair has been not every color of the rainbow, but like every color of the neutral rainbow.
Yeah.
And then I've had like pink in my hair and blue and whatever, but I've been red and blonde and
I would actually say that you are more qualified to speak on this than almost anyone, because I feel like most people who have that hot take are like hairdressers or like are like very uppity and like very against box size, but you have experience.
But I've been there.
So you go,
I've been there, girl.
I'm interrupting you.
If you're listening to this. No, I'm interrupting you. I'm just so passionate. Because, so the thing is, you shouldn't dye your hair at home. Like that, if you have to, like, go to Sally Beauty Supply, don't just buy a box dye from, like, Target or Walmart. Like, at least go and get developer and get toner, and your application might not be as good, but at least the products you're putting on your hair are more tailored to, like, what you need. Because, like, you'll need a different developer depending on how dark your hair is, yada, yada, yada. But the main thing I'm going to push is we are in quarantine right now. And I've seen a lot of people posting that they're dyeing their hair. And I've seen a lot of guys saying they need haircuts. And I have cut Kyle's hair before, but it was when we were watching a lot of Queer Eye. And so I feel like I like secondhand, like I picked up on some of Jonathan's techniques. Also, I didn't have a baby, so I watched like a lot of YouTube videos beforehand and like did a lot of research on Pinterest. And today he came to me and was like, hey, remember when you cut my hair? Can you do that again? But now I have a baby, so I don't have time to do research. So he just like brought down his clippers and I just started shaving his head. And then the clippers died halfway through. So now Kyle has like a very botched haircut.
I want pictures. I literally want pictures.
And like the issue is that I went into it with such confidence because I had done it successfully before. So I literally like I had him pose and I like put like a cute filter on and did like a boomerang of him. And I like just saved it because I was all, oh, okay, like this will be my before. And then everyone will be so impressed because like I'm such a good hairdresser at the after. No.
No?
Like, I'm sorry, Kyle. I know you're listening to this, and I know you're offended at me saying that your hair is botched. The plan is for me to fix it tomorrow when his clippers are,
charged,
you know, regular. But I'm really hoping he doesn't have, like, a Skype call or something tomorrow, because
wear a hat.
It's a little funky. Everyone's all, Kyle, we've never seen you in a hat before, and you're indoors in your kitchen. But so that's also, side note, I have ruined my hair from box dyeing it for so many years.
When it's been like long time since you've even dyed it at all, right?
Yeah.
But you still feel like it's ruined from it?
Yeah, well, the last time I dyed my hair was, I've gone to the same hairdresser for the last couple years, and it has gotten progressively better because she's the best. And so I only get my hair dyed like once a year, maybe. And I just get highlights and that's it. But I cut my hair short so long ago, and my hair is still like to here, just because it's forever, I feel like, kind of damaged. So don't box dye your hair at home.
See,
and that's not coming from like a privileged place. Right. Like, I'm not saying like, oh, you have to go to like a couple $100 salon because that's the only way to do it. No, I have box dyed my hair so much at home. I've been there. I'm like,
here's what I somewhat agree. I somewhat disagree.
Okay.
I think there, I would agree with that, but with some exceptions. I think, I think if your kid is like, I don't know, under the age of like 2 or 3 and you want to give them a haircut at home, like, it's probably fine.
Yes.
Go for it. I think.
Totally.
If you are a teenager.
If you're like a middle schooler.
That's,
sorry, I interrupted
no,
you.
No, that's
the same sentence.
That's literally what I was going to say. We'll see if we have the same thing. If you're, let's say, under 17 or 18, don't cut your hair because it's not going to go well coming from someone who's done it. But
Sierra, Taylor, my little sister, called me the other day saying that she wants to cut her hair into a pixie cut.
Herself?
And I'm like, yes. And I'm like, you're in high school. You're in quarantine. You're really going to come back with no hairdressing experience, having like shaved your head and done a pixie cut.
See, I do think a pixie cut would look great on her, but you got to get it done.
Get it done.
But if you are under the age of 17 or 18, we'll say between the ages of 12 and 18, and you want to dye your hair pink or blue or whatever, go for it. Because you don't.
And start with the ends.
Yes.
Or the underlayer.
Or the underlayer.
Start with a little bit.
It's not going to look great, going to be honest. Probably not. But it doesn't matter because you're a teenager.
It's fun.
And now is the time to dye your hair pink if you want to. And now is the time to give yourself kind of bad looking highlights if you want to. So I have no regrets for the times that I bleached my hair and then dyed it blue in your mom's bathroom. My only regret is the time that we got the dye everywhere and ruined your mom's bathroom.
Well, and also I thought of another thing. I've also cut front bangs. So like, I really have been at the lowest of lows when it comes to doing your own hair. So I'm not, if you're dyeing your hair pink this weekend by yourself, I'm not shaming you. I'm just saying, maybe do a little research. That's all. Because Kyle's hair is a little botched and it's my fault. Do you have a hot take?
Okay, I have a lukewarm take, and it's more just like, okay, here's my thing. I'm an annoying person, but I don't think I get annoyed easily because I'm annoying. Like, I think...
I took a huge sip of White Claw. And you go, I think I'm an annoying person.
So, I am aware that I'm kind of annoying. It's fine. I annoy myself. I annoy everyone. It's fine. No big deal. So, I think because of that, my tolerance for being annoyed is relatively high. Like, I don't get annoyed that easily. There's something that annoys me more than anything. And any of you guys who
can I guess?
Yes.
Well, no, continue. Okay. I'm sorry. I keep interrupting you. I'm just so excited to talk to you.
I have interrupted you so much. In my head, I'm like, all the comments are just going to be like, Sierra's talking over
Skylar. That's what I keep thinking, too.
So it's fine. We'll talk over each other.
Guys, neither of us are offended. We just really love each other and really want to talk.
But
also, this is my first drink in a long time.
Same.
So I'm ready.
Me, too. So there's not a lot of things that annoy me. You know, there are some things I've talked about before of my pet peeves, like mumbling or people not using their blinkers, like those kind of things. there's something that annoys me so much. And that is when someone posts a screenshot and people reply to it and shame them for their battery level on their phone.
Steven did that to me the other day.
It's your so
husband.
I am aware that my phone is on red. I'm aware that my phone's on 5%. I posted a screenshot. I do not need to go through my DMs and every reply be charge your phone. Charge. I know I need to charge my phone. I know.
Steven did that in the group chat the other day and I was all, I have a baby on my boob. I can't move.
Did he really?
I can't go get a phone charger.
What an asshole.
Wow. We shamed Kyle for his bot haircut. Now we're shaming Steven for breastfeeding, shaming me.
But my...
Just kidding.
My thing is, it's one of the, like, anyone who's listening to this who has DM'd me or replied to my tweets saying, charge your phone, I don't hate you. I promise. I'm just being dramatic. But knock it off.
I get it. I get it, girl. I used to be, like, my phone never died. Like, I feel like that was, like, kind of a source of pride for me. Was that, like, I'm a reliable person. I always have my phone charged. I always have extra snacks. Like the Mary Poppins of being prepared and having my phone charged. But nowadays, my phone dies, like, 10 times a day. Because I'm always on it.
Right.
Because I'm, like, breastfeeding and then he'll fall asleep and I, like... I'm just sitting there, like, I can't, like, go and get a book. I can't go and, like, turn on the TV or do anything. And so I feel like I'm just always on my phone, not having it plugged in. And so my phone is always dying now. So I relate to you.
You know what you absolutely need? And if you don't end up getting one of these, I'm totally getting you one for Christmas. Is Apple makes fast chargers that can charge your phone from 0 to 20% in 5 minutes. And they're just a little bit more expensive than a regular charger, and they look a little bit different. And I now almost exclusively use fast chargers because I'll look at my phone. It'll be at 6%. I'm like, I want to go on a hike. I don't want to wait, you know, 30 minutes for my phone to charge. Pop it on the fast charger. I can leave in 5-10 minutes.
That's not what I thought you were going to say. I'm so into that. I thought you were going to say I should get, like, a big, like, charging case for my phone.
No.
And I was going to say, Sierra, you know I'm not going to have, like, a gigantic black charging case.
No. Nope.
Like, that's too much.
The fast chargers are white. Don't worry. They're very plain and...
Also, can I just say, on the record, I don't hate color. I feel like until I was a mom, I never got mean DMs. And now I get mean DMs a lot saying that, like, I hate color.
The mom shaming needs to stop. That can also be my hot take. You know,
that was almost going to be my hot take. And then I botched Kyle's haircut. And so then it changed.
Like, the mom shaming just needs to stop. Everyone's navigating parenting in their own way and figuring it out. Yes. And has different beliefs and different opinions and different things that work. So if Skylar's nursery, well, Milo's nursery, Skylar, the nursery that Skylar made for Milo, is of muted tones, that's fine. That's good.
Also, do people think that, like, what I post on Instagram is all that's in my house? Like, he has books. He has toys that are, like, in bins and in the closet and all over.
Nope, just Instagram.
Like, it's not just, yeah. But, so anyways, for the record, I do love white. I do love neutral colors. That's what most of my home is. But also, I love color. I'm wearing a color right now.
There you go. Breaking the rules. So,
wow. On the record.
All right.
The next time someone DMs me about it, I'll be like, watch this episode of Sierra Unfiltered at...
Timestamp.
23 or whatever. Oh, gosh. Should we get into the Tiger King madness?
We should. But before we do, let me tell you guys a little bit about this podcast sponsor, and that is our friends over at Cash App. We absolutely love Cash App. They are the number one finance app in the App Store. Cash App is a free app that makes it really easy to instantly send money to your friends. So maybe you and your roommates order a pizza or rent a movie. You don't have to worry anymore about trying to count out dollars, divide up the change, just Cash App them. Super, super easy. Cash App also comes with the Cash Card, which is a free debit card that comes with boosts, which are basically just instant rewards for shopping at the places that you already do. So Target, DoorDash, Whole Foods, and way more. It's basically like having credit card perks, but they're packed into this free debit card. And one of our favorite parts about partnering with Cash App is that we work together to support one of our favorite organizations, and that is the Trevor Project. If you haven't heard of the Trevor Project, they provide resources and crisis intervention to LGBTQ plus youth, which is an incredibly important cause. We love the Trevor Project. We love the work that they're doing. And Cash App will give you $10 and donate $10 to the Trevor Project if you download Cash App with our promo code UNFILTERED. So, download Cash App from the App Store today, promo code UNFILTERED, $10 for you, $10 for the Trevor Project. So, thank you, Cash App.
Thank you, Cash App. Woo-woo!
Cash App has been so great to work with and just a great app altogether.
They're so awesome.
They are great. Into something less great, but also incredibly fascinating, Tiger King.
Tiger King. I have so many thoughts.
Okay.
I feel like I think that there should be more trigger warnings.
That's one of my notes. Absolutely. Did you do just like overall notes or did you do like episode by episode?
I did kind of overall notes.
Okay.
Did you do episode by episode? Because we can follow yours and then I can just pop in.
I have some overall and some episode by episode. So
do we want to follow your guideline and then at the end, if we have things that we didn't hit, I can refer back to mine.
Sure. That sounds great.
Cool.
First thing, like you said, 100% they need more trigger warnings. I wrote that down for what episode is that? Episode 5, which was the one where Travis, his husband, died.
Yes.
The first time I watched it, I absolutely did not see that coming. I was incredibly affected. I had to pause it, turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
It's not graphic in the sense that you see it happen, but you see someone's reaction to the death, and there was no content warning, no trigger warning, no nothing. Absolutely nothing.
It wasn't a reenactment. It was actual security footage.
I am shocked that there were some other spots that I thought needed trigger warnings, but that in particular.
I completely agree. I think that I got a lot of messages when we had talked about Tiger King being like, I'm surprised you like that. There's so much animal abuse and there's like a lot of like meat shown and like all the gross trucks from Walmart coming and violence and whatever. But I feel like that's kind of what you expect when you go into the show. Like, if you do any research, you'll know that it's about a guy who has animals in very small cages and that they aren't being treated humanely. And that's kind of like the whole series is about, like, what is treating these animals or who is treating these animals humanely. Because Carol Baskin claims she is, but she's not.
Right.
And so I think that I already expected that going in. Like, I expected there to be parts that, like, made my heart hurt. But I wasn't expecting to see someone literally commit suicide on camera.
Yeah. That was a lot. And on my second watch through, I just skipped past it.
Yeah. No, totally. It was really, really shocking. And then also in, like, the post-interview, post-episode, whatever we want to call it, when the campaign, what was he, the campaign manager?
Yeah.
Was talking about it, he was also talking about it in such graphic detail.
Yeah.
Like, that shook me up, too, and that was even just hearing about it. Like, I was, yeah, it was a lot.
One of the things that I wrote down for the last episode about Josh, the campaign manager, was he said that he still has not had counseling from that situation with Travis. And he feels like he needs it. And he wasn't able to get it when that happened. He didn't work through that. And he's saving up to have some counseling now. I cannot believe that he was willing to have counseling, was open to it. And no one in that facility, he was living at the GW Zoo, stepped in and said, hey, we're, you know, this happened on our grounds and, you know, you were there and that must have been very traumatic and we would like to set you up with a counselor.
Yes. I mean, I literally have goosebumps of you talking about it. I mean, they also said that Joe never got therapy, that he went to a shaman and yeah. like didn't get any sort of counseling. But I also wrote down that they pay their employees $1.55 an hour. So it's kind legal? Of like, I just, it's one of those things. Well, but Carol Baskin only has volunteers.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So let me back up a little bit. Because I had a couple more overall notes before we dive too much into like the specifics.
Okay.
My first kind of big bullet point at the very top of my notes is it's, these people seem like characters and this seems fictionalized. And I think yes. on my first watch through, I almost forgot, and I think I did forget, that these are real people. And because yes. it's so ridiculous, it's so outlandish. It seems like Carol Baskin and Joe Exotic and Josh the campaign manager and the reality show producer and all these people, they seem like characters, but they are, at the end of the day, these are real people.
Well, and I think a big thing with that too is, like, trust me, I think the memes and the TikToks are as funny as anyone, but like Carol Baskin is a person and she's still out there. And like, I'm team Carol Baskin definitely killed her husband, but she hasn't been convicted of it. And so what if she didn't?
Right.
And then like the whole world is just like hating on her and saying such horrible things and making like very graphic jokes. And I mean, she already went through so much with Joe like bullying her online and in real life about it. And so it's one of those things where if I had to make a judgment call on it, I would say that the evidence points to that she probably killed her husband, but she hasn't been convicted and she's like a free woman living out there. And I think sometimes it's hard to remember that these are real people. Like yes. Joe is in jail. These people are still working. Well, they aren't working at the GW Zoo anymore, but they're trying to open up a new zoo, I think is what they said.
Yeah.
But it is so wild that these are real people. I think I totally did the same, like, kind of disassociative thing the first time I watched it, where yeah. it was, like, almost cartoonish.
Yes.
I think, like, I wound up kind of liking Joe.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I have a hard time with, like, regular zoos. That aren't and are for guns. Profit and guns and all of these things. And so it is so interesting how the way that the show was produced made these people seem not only like characters, but also made them seem very likable in their quirks.
Yeah. I think my second watch through, I definitely tried to remember that these are all real people.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, yes, all of these characters, these people that are shown, are flawed. Did Carol Baskin kill her husband? Maybe. I can't say. I don't know. Evidence seems like she did. The memes are very funny, and I will laugh at the memes. But yes. I think there also needs to be... We need to keep some sort of humanity in remembering that Carol Baskin... Can you imagine if someone put a hit out on you? Like that, regardless of what she did or didn't do, like that is awful. And I feel so sad for her that she had to go through that. Like
just like the online bullying.
Yeah.
And even them showing up to her place of work. And I mean, there was that whole scene where he was like in the dead rabbit costume and they had protesters out front.
He put snakes in her mailbox.
Like, in just so many graphic images of him shooting blow-up dolls that looked like her. And it was truly disgusting. Like, yeah. What she was doing at her, like, big cat rescue, to me, was not ethical. Like, it was not okay. It's not good to keep cats in that small of cages. But also, if someone were to do to me or to you or to anyone I know what he was doing to her, I would be working full force to get that person in jail.
Oh, like, absolutely.
That is scary and horrifying. I think it's, like, stalkerish, like, his obsession with her. It's a lot.
Yeah. Absolutely. my last kind of overarching thing before, well, two last things before we get into kind of my episode by episode and then Skylar's thoughts through it as well. First, the most impressive part is that when they started filming this documentary, they had no idea what it was going to become. They started filming this thinking it was about this crazy community and all this drama of people who have these big cats. And then it became a whole nother thing about lawsuits and murder for hire and running for president. Like, it is crazy that when they started filming this, when they started filming it, what they probably thought it was going to be to where what it actually ended up being.
I know. Well, and that the producer, what was his name again? I always forget it.
Down.
The producer with the big hat who smokes.
Rick.
Rick.
Yes.
He is a Rick. I feel like he is like almost the most charactery of them all. Like when they would cut to him, the even just like the scene that he was being shot in looked like it was like very production designed. Like looked like he was like a narrator. And he was for the point of the story. But I think it was hard for me to remember that he was a real person until I was watching the end where he's like, I live in Norway now. And I'm a real person who has real thoughts.
Yeah.
And this isn't what I signed up for.
Yeah. The next thing I had written was, this is so American in a way, this whole documentary, but also so not the America that I know and live in my Southern California bubble. Like, I was listening to the Jenna and Julian podcast on this episode, or on the documentary, and they were talking about, like, I can't believe this happened in America. This seems so, like, foreign, and I can't believe this is in the country we live in. And I do disagree with that a little bit, because this is kind of American. The idea...
Like, what other country does it seem like it's in?
Like, the idea that someone can go to Walmart and buy the stuff that you would need to blow up your assets so that someone else can't sue you for them while owning a bunch of tigers in your yard... is kind of American in a really messed up way.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much you want to get into your take on all of that, but for me, I feel so anti-gun and anti all of that. Yeah. And so I feel like that was also a really weird layer for me to watch. And again, I expected that. And so especially the second time, it didn't bother me nearly as much. But just seeing these people with these like weapons of mass destruction who are very clearly not mentally stable, going around and threatening people and putting hits out on people while having weapons that they bought legally in America was just like upsetting to me personally. I think playing devil's advocate a lot, just because I feel like my views on like animals being in captivity and meat and all of that is such a kind of like important thing to me. I feel like if he owned one tiger, I wouldn't have as much of an issue with it. Like people, like I feel more bad for the, or I feel equally as bad for the animals that were constantly being fed to the tigers that were just coming off of the Walmart meat trucks that I'm sure were being raised in horrible conditions. And oh, Kyle's getting home.
Hi. Kyle.
But I feel equally as bad for those animals, you know? And I think that a lot of times, because like tigers are so beautiful and they're these majestic creatures, that it's kind of this like pulling. It's kind of like how we've talked about like the turtle straw issue of like, I agree, we shouldn't use straws, but people are a lot more passionate about the straw issue because turtles are tied to it. Whereas like plastic bags and like, I don't know, all the plastic that we normally get with our groceries, or even just the plastic cup that your straw typically comes in, isn't as important to people, if that makes sense.
Right.
I think like my main issue where it kind of sways is when at the very end, what was the first guy's name? He had like the neon signs behind him. He was one with the long blonde hair.
Oh, I wrote down all the names. Hold on. The blonde guy was Eric.
when Eric was talking about how, like, he loved the tiger so much, but he was the one who would have to go out and kill them. And then Joel McHale asked, he was like, oh, so is there something, like, medically wrong where that has to happen? And he was all, you would think. And it just, like, they just were killing tigers to make more room for breeding and just... And so I think, like, that's kind of where my biggest issue comes in. I think if he just owned a couple tigers, that would still be bad and I still wouldn't be okay with it. But it's, like, the constant breeding and killing of animals so that other animals can exist and be sold off. Like, that's where it becomes a huge issue for me.
Yeah, I see that. And it is a very interesting thing to think about. I think the whole cub petting thing was so interesting because... The whole idea was these tigers are so valuable when they're so small because mm-hmm. people want pictures next to a baby tiger and there's this thing that is so cute and you know will grow up to be this thing that could rip your arm off. And so there's this only this period of only about 12 weeks where these tiger cubs are so valuable. And I think I wrote it down at one point, but he said something that you can get like $100,000 profit from a tiger in that first 12 weeks because people want to pay to play with them and pet them and all of that. And it's so interesting to me that became that once the tiger passed that 12 weeks, it then became a liability because it costs more to keep it alive than it did that you could make profit off of it.
Well, and that's what that one wife was saying, was that was pretty much her tipping point when she had formed such a strong bond with one of the baby tigers. And then she was like pretty certain that he had just gone out in the back and killed it. And like that's what he had been doing, Doc Antle, to so many of the other tigers.
Which we can skip around a little bit, but I think Doc Antle is the worst person in this whole documentary. And that's saying a lot because there are some shitty people in this documentary.
That's so funny. See, I don't know if I agree, but I think it's because I've come to the realization, and stay with me, folks. I think that I would join a cult if I was like in a different, if I was in a different place, if like my situation was a little different. I think what Doc Antle was doing was horrible, just as bad as Joe Exotic, but I could see myself falling into that kind of lifestyle. Like, don't you think, like, I feel like I'm kind of gullible. I'm kind of like, I assume the pet, like, I feel like you'd be like, oh, you're my favorite wife. And I'd be like, oh, he really means it.
I need to work every day, all day, so that I can be the favorite wife.
Yes. And, like, there are baby animals, and you feel like you can't leave because you have connections with the animals. Like, I feel like I could see myself falling into that. And I feel like he was, I don't know. I feel like he was still just as bad to the animals, but I feel like he wasn't as bad to the other humans. Like, he was bad to his employees and wives, but he wasn't, like, putting out hits on people. I don't know.
See, I think he's the worst because he not only was doing all the horrible, you know, animal abuse and animal neglect and using these animals for profit and then getting rid of them, but he was also manipulating and, you know, just being awful to these women and really like going after young women, bringing them in, totally taking advantage of them. I'll go down to those notes. Okay, so I wrote in about episode 2, Doc Antle is the actual worst. The Myrtle Beach Safari has also collaborated with a ton of YouTubers, which okay.
I didn't know that.
I did some digging.
TTT.
So.
Oh my God.
He did a video with Logan Paul, which is like not that surprising because it's Logan Paul, right? But I don't know if
there
going to
be
this.
Some.
I saw on
my. Wait, I feel like I know who you're going to say.
Really? Okay.
I feel so like I... Twilight. Say it. Say it out loud.
All right. So I was on my Explore page a couple days after I watched Tiger King for the first time. And I was getting a bunch of, like, Tiger King memes and stuff. And all of a sudden, I saw this photo from an account I didn't follow. I'm getting, like, hot and, like, my heart's racing because I don't like calling people out. But I saw this post of these four people holding a tiger in a swimming pool. And I recognized one of them, but I didn't recognize the other three. And I clicked on the account. And it was a YouTuber who, I hate this so much, who has a couples vlog channel with a girl that I had seen a couple of her videos before, so I recognized her. And their channel is called JD Vlogs. And he posted a photo of them at Myrtle Beach Safari where they did like a collaboration with them. I'm like, my heart's like beating so fast.
I'm writing it down so I can look it up later.
And so it's this photo of the couple that has the vlog channel and two other people. And they posted it on April 2nd. So it was like a throwback because Tiger King was going so viral. And as soon as I saw this post, I was like, wait, they're literally at Myrtle Beach Safari, like tagging this place that just totally got slammed in this documentary. And I click on the comments and they're all positive. No one is like, hey, maybe you shouldn't support that place. Or like, hey.
Were they sponsored?
This post was not sponsored, but I went back and found the vlog on their channel of them going there. And it seemed like it was not necessarily sponsored, but like maybe they did some sort of collaboration with them. And every single comment is just, oh my gosh, I love you guys. You guys are my favorite. Da, 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 da. And they have like a big channel with like 2 million subscribers. And I click on that video where they're literally like swimming with tigers and at the Myrtle Beach Safari with Doc Antle, all positive. No one was calling them out. And it made me think, how many YouTubers are showing this to their audience, going to not even necessarily Doc Antle's place in that Myrtle Beach Safari, but places like that so that they can get a cool ass picture with a tiger. And then everyone who follows them just goes, oh, that looks so cool. I should do that too. Like, how is no one? I'm so hot because I hate, I'm like so nervous about calling
anyone
out.
No, I love this.
But
I feel,
how can you post that? And it's not even like they did that months ago and then this all came out and they had no idea how bad it was there, but they literally posted that as like a throwback after everything happened. So I'm guessing that the Myrtle Beach Safari probably has like a great social media team who collaborates with a ton of YouTubers, because those were just the two that I saw right off the bat, was Logan Paul and that couples vlog channel. Mm-hmm. So there's like a whole other side of this that involves YouTubers working with these places so that they can get a cool video of swimming with a tiger and doing this and that. And ugh.
Yeah, that's disgusting. I see what I thought you were going to say. And I won't say people's names because I didn't fact check and I don't know. But I thought you were going to bring up, I have seen a lot of beauty gurus and lifestyle influencers who go on brand trips or just go on international trips and then post these like amazing photos with these like crazy animals. And I mean, who knows what kind of conditions those animals are being kept in. And so I didn't know if it was like one of those people who I've seen in the past post pictures with exotic animals at like, not petting zoos, but essentially what Doc Antle's place is. Yeah. So I didn't know if it was one of them. I wouldn't be totally shocked if some of those girls also have pictures there.
I think there's this whole aspect of social media that leads to people wanting to go to places like that, where there was the whole thing that Jeff Lowe talked about of like, everyone wants a tiger selfie on their dating app. Because it makes you look cool and dangerous and I'm not like other girls and this and that. And I think social media drives those kind of places to say, okay, the biggest profit we can make is breeding all these baby tigers and then having people come take pictures with them and having YouTubers come and film with them and all this crazy stuff. And I can see the appeal. Would I want to pet a baby tiger? Of course I would. Who wouldn't want to pet a baby tiger? But I think it's understanding that, like, for you to get the opportunity to pet a baby tiger, there's a lot of bad stuff that has to go on for that to be attainable for you. And so,
well, and that baby tiger's not happy. It doesn't want to take a selfie with you. It was probably ripped away from its mother. It's probably, like, separated from everyone. It's probably fed not enough for really inadequate food. Like, it's not like you're taking a picture with this baby tiger and the baby tiger is like so excited.
Yeah.
Like, it's essentially tortured.
Yeah. And it's all about, well, and you know, I'm sure they would tell you when you go to a place like that, like, oh, you know, the tigers need to be socialized. And so you're helping them and we're educating, and education is really important to get people to care about the rainforest and to care about extinction. And those are true. Some of those are true things. But there are other ways to get people to care about animals and to care about and to be educated about them that don't include petting a tiger at a mall or swimming
in
a pool.
Well, that's Carol.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say that's Carol Baskin's whole shtick is like that she's like helping by educating, and she can't save these tigers. These tigers still have to be in cages because they wouldn't survive. But like that's how she gets all these volunteers, is because she's educating and she's socializing and she's doing all of these like high and mighty things, when in reality her facility is just as bad.
I wrote down another thing about that, which, so the San Diego Safari Park, which is one of the top zoological societies in the world, AZA accredited, nonprofit, a really great organization. I think they have 4 tigers and they have this massive multi-million dollar enclosure.
Also, they're helping a lot with extinction.
Yes, right. And they're helping a lot with conservation and education and all of that. So the San Diego Zoo has 4 tigers. How the heck does Joe Exotic have like 40? Like, how, why is it that this very legitimate zoo has 4, which I think they don't need more than 4. You can have 4 tigers and those can be the animal ambassadors that educate people. And, you know, they have as good of an enclosure as they can get. Still not as good as the wild. But how can they have 4 and Joe Exotic has like 40?
Well, and what was so interesting was in the post interview, they were saying that apparently Joe is afraid of tigers. He's afraid of big cats. I feel like there's a lot.
Well, I think
there's a lot going on in the big cat community. I think a lot of it's driven by money, that people know that big cats make money and they want money. But also, from what I've seen, none of them are living lavish lives. Like, I feel like if any, like, Doc or Carol or Joe, I mean, I guess Jeff kind of lives, like, a more lavish life. But I feel like if any of those people had, like, gigantic mansions and crazy cars, that they would show it. Like, right. Taking Jeff out of the picture, I feel like those 3 lived pretty like moderate lives.
Yeah. No,
and so
I
it's
agree.
Just weird when you don't have a passion for the tigers. You're afraid of them.
I believe that Carol has some, I think that Carol believes that what she's doing is right.
Agree.
And I think Carol does from what I got from the documentary, she genuinely does care. I think I have a more positive opinion of Carol Baskin than the average person, but.
Agree. I completely agree.
Yeah, we can get into that. Another thing I wrote down was I read an article about, you know, Carol's response to all of this. And apparently the producers and the directors of the documentary explained it to her like this was, they told her it was going to be the Blackfish of big cats, and it was a hit piece on Joe Exotic, and, you know, she should come on and be this voice of reason of, you know, here's why what they're doing is wrong and all of that. I can't imagine her thinking that she's involved in the Blackfish of big cats and then watching the documentary come out and realizing it is nothing of the sort.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was, like, we are skipping around, but I think that's all right.
Yeah.
I feel like that was one of the most interesting parts of the, like, end interview recap, was seeing, like, when, how, and even if people watched it. Because that first guy, his name was Eric, right? He said he didn't watch it. He was all, I don't have time.
Yeah.
Which is so fascinating. Especially because he admits, like, he didn't get all these accolades, but people are like asking him for selfies in Walmart, and he's famous now. Like, he understands that it's like such a huge thing that I'm sure they sent out like a nice camera. They got him all set up to do that interview, and he didn't watch it, or he claims that he didn't watch it.
I believe he didn't watch it. He was, it's just my one of my favorite little moments in Tiger King was when they're asking everyone how many wives Doc Antle has. And they ask him, and he just goes, I don't effing care.
I don't know if it's, like, bad to say, but I used to have a guy who was my like lighting design assistant multiple times at the community college I went to, and he reminds me so much of him. And like, I have such a positive association with that guy because he's great. He lives in a van now and like does like van life stuff, but he has like long flowing hair and just kind of has this like, I don't give a shit attitude about everything. And it like was so comical to me, but that's like who he was.
Well,
like he would talk about stuff and he would just be like, I don't care. And I would laugh because like I care so much, thinking that he was joking, and then he never was joking. And I feel like that's how I feel about Eric.
I don't think that's an insult to your lighting design friend, because I would venture to say that Eric was one of the more likable people in Tiger King. Okay, I'm gonna skip through some of my notes because I took a lot of notes. Okay, I wrote his music videos slap. Like, we know it wasn't him singing, but Hear Kitty Kitty in the music video is really funny. It's awful and it's horrible, but it's really funny.
Okay, but Sierra, am I the dumbest person on the planet? Like, I thought maybe he was just like, maybe he just had a good voice.
I did too.
Like auto-tuned. Like, it wasn't until the end. I wrote that down in like all caps in my notes. I was like, it wasn't him singing? I can believe it. I just am a little shook. Who was it? I would love for that person to be interviewed.
Yeah, where's that person in the documentary? Okay, I also wrote down, you know what, this, I feel like I still feel awful and weird about calling out that couple vlog who went to the Myrtle Beach safari. And then the next thing I wrote down was, screw Shaq. Shaq has tigers. Shaq bought tigers from Joe Exotic. Shaq advertised the GW Zoo. And no one's come in for Shaq. What the heck, Shaq?
Wait. Question. Doesn't Mike Tyson have a tiger? At least one?
Does he really?
I'm just getting this information from The Hangover. Mike Tyson has a tiger, right?
Let me Google that.
Because you have beef with Mike Tyson. And so if he has a tiger.
I don't have beef with Mike Tyson. But I might.
For those of you. Did you ever talk about it in a vlog? I know you posted about it on like your Instagram stories.
Yeah. Oh, we were at the YouTube space one time and Mike Tyson was getting a tour and his like posse of like 30 people came into our studio and ate all of our Pokemon gummies.
That's it. Like, that's really all the tea. But I feel like it's so funny to joke about Sierra having beef with Mike Tyson. Because Sierra's never had any drama, really. And so the fact that it's Mike Tyson who could fight you.
I got beef with two people, Beautycon and Mike Tyson. Okay, so here's what comes up when you Google, does Mike Tyson have a tiger? An article from 2019 that says, Mike Tyson claims he had to sell his pet Bengal tiger, Kenya, after 16 years as it ripped somebody's arm off.
Was it soft? Plot twist.
Plot twist. Okay, I agree.
I'll go on record and say, fuck Shaq. Sorry we're using a lot of profanity in this episode. I've had a white claw. We're going for it.
I love it. Okay. I also loved that the documentary producers or editors kept in footage of Doc and Carol creating this facade of Doc Antle being like, okay, so you come to the door and then I'll answer. And then Carol being like, okay, are you rolling? These cats don't deserve to live their life in cages. Like, I thought it was brilliant that they included that footage. Just showing the facade that they create.
Well, even when Joe Exotic's, all of his footage burned down and like his alligators were killed, they showed him doing like retakes of him being like, innocent alligator lives were taken today. And then he'd be like, okay, let's do that again from here. And like he very clearly like wasn't as upset as he was making himself seem.
I thought that was really fascinating. And I thought it really helped to create this narrative of like each of these people has their own story that they're trying to tell and use this documentary to paint themselves in a certain way. And I think the way that Jeff Lowe wanted to be perceived was, I'm cool, I'm badass, I go to Vegas and have hot girls take pictures of my baby tigers.
Can we talk about his party bus? where he literally had tigers and drunk people.
Here's the thing. How is that legal?
Imagine, I have so many questions.
Imagine you and I, like, fresh into college. Let's say we went to Vegas for a weekend and we were talking.
I can see us falling for it.
That's what I'm trying to say. Imagine we're drunk, we're on the casino floor, and we start talking to this girl who seems really nice, and she's like, oh, yes. Like, do you guys want to, like, come pet a baby tiger?
Especially, like, one thing I wanted to point out was that Lauren was wearing a Hogwarts shirt in her, like, final interview. I was like, oh, I trust this girl. She's wearing a Hogwarts shirt. She seems cool. And then she immediately starts objectifying their nanny.
Oh.
I'm like, Lauren, I want you to be on our team, but you're not on my team. I'm sorry.
Let me scroll down to that because I had some thoughts.
Hey, guys. Just hopping in here real quick to let you know that at this point in the podcast, we stopped the recording and started a new one. And in that process, something got messed up with my audio and it got turned up to 10. I'm usually at a 4, so it's going to be kind of distorted. We're trying our best to fix it with editing and the in-camera audio, but my audio is going to sound a little different from this point on. So I'm sorry. We try our best to make sure these things don't happen, but hopefully you still enjoy the episode. All right, we'll jump back into it.
Just what I wrote about Jeff and Lauren in their, like, last episode interview. They have an open relationship. That's fine. Do your thing. If you want to be monogamous, if you want to be polyamorous, I don't judge. I don't discriminate. Do whatever you want. Got no problems with that. But what I'm not okay with is how weird and sad for their nanny and their other employees that just because they're very open about, you know, who they want to sleep with and how their relationship works, that doesn't mean that everyone else is comfortable being part of that. This woman, their nanny, was hired on as a nanny. She was not hired on to be objectified. And I just think that's so awful.
I mean, I agree and I disagree. I think that, yes, the objectification is very bad. I think that she must have had some inclination of who she was getting hired on to nanny for and, like, their arrangement. I feel like if she stayed on for this long of, like, through them ending filming and now, like, it coming out, them getting interviewed, she must be somewhat okay with the situation.
Yeah, I mean, I still think it's awful, and they're in a position of, regardless of if she's cool with it or agreed with it, like, they're still the employers, and they're still the ones in the position of power, and it's just, it's so uncomfortable, and I think my first inclination, my first watch through was like, oh yeah, Lauren seems like a nice girl, like you said, she seems likable, she seems approachable, and Jeff's the bad guy, but, like, she's in on it, like, and she almost is the wolf in sheep's clothing because Jeff looks like a douchebag. Like, I've never seen someone who dresses like more of a douchebag than Jeff Lowe. But Lauren looks like she looks like the kind of girl that if I saw her in the bathroom at a party, we would talk and hit it off, you know?
Yes. And I mean, I think there's someone in my life who I am not super fond of who reminds me a lot of Jeff Lowe. Yes! And I feel like you know exactly who I'm talking about. There are a lot of similarities. That's all I'll say. But yeah, so I feel like Jeff Lowe immediately, I just not like he's my least favorite person in this whole series. I think partially because he reminds me so much of someone that I just is probably one of the only people in my life that I don't personally get along with. But I feel like their whole situation really reminded me of the technical theater world with, like, how I felt like they just kept talking about how, like, everyone, like, hooks up and it's all kind of weird and everyone's all kind of working together and there were a lot of, like, weird power dynamics. And so I felt like, who was it? I think it was John Finley that was being interviewed because they were asking him about, like, his now wife and how they met there. And it just, I was like, oh, this is kind of like theater.
It is kind of like theater. The big cat world and theater, not so different.
Not? Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to skip through. That's most of my notes I've hit for episode 1 and 2. Okay, so I talked about my dislike for Doc Antle and the social media that kind of fuels his business. Also, he's a disgusting predator running a cult. Just going to leave that there. But Joe, who is more likable than Doc, there are a lot of similarities to be drawn in the way that he preyed on these young men. And in the final episode, one of the things that Josh, the campaign manager, said was, quote, when he asked, sorry, not quote yet, but when the interviewer asked, like, oh, did Joe ever try to, like, come on to you? He said, no, I'm not his type. Joe's type is young and dumb, 17 to 18. If that was a, just because, you know, this is a same-sex relationship, doesn't mean we shouldn't look at it with the same lens that we would if it was a man preying on. If a man said about his type, my type is young and dumb women, 17 or 18. That's terrifying.
I mean, I completely agree. I think what you said about it being a same-sex marriage and just same-sex relationship is really valid, and that I do feel like people tend to think of women as, like, weak and that they can't, like, fend for themselves. So I feel like people are often a lot more protective of, like, 17-year-old women than they are of 17-year-old men, or boys and girls, I should say.
Yeah.
But I unfortunately do think that a lot of men out there would say their type is, like, young and dumb women.
Ugh. Ugh. I hate that. That makes my skin crawl. But I also wrote down, fantastic triple redneck gay wedding. Loved it.
Would love to attend.
With the pink shirts.
Also, I got a lot of, like, messages of people saying, like, you and Sierra can come to my wedding. Which I thought was so sweet. After we had talked about, like, how we really want to go to weddings. But I would have loved to go to that triple redneck wedding.
Oh, so good. So good.
Like, they're matching hot pink shirts. I can't.
Is that whole wedding somewhere on YouTube? Because if so, we should watch
I'm
it.
I'm interested.
I feel like
that's when we should, like, live stream.
Yes. A live watch party. I feel like I've been dominating the conversation with my notes. Do you have any notes that you want to jump in with?
My first note I have written down is Carol Baskin's flower crown. I feel like I would like to take a moment to appreciate, like, she has committed.
Yes.
Both you and I have worn our fair share of flower crowns.
Absolutely.
There was a phase where that was the thing to do. If you were on Tumblr, if you wanted to be, like, hippie, I don't know, girl goals, like,
yes,
that was the thing. Carol Baskin has made it a life choice.
What? Like, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, she also has made wearing tiger print a life choice, but that, like, that goes with her character.
Yeah.
Like, that's, of course, you're a big cat person. You do you. It's like if you love horses, maybe you wear cowboy boots all the time. I don't know. Her flower crown, we never saw her without a flower crown.
Nope.
I feel like part of it is, like, this angelic presence that she wants to preserve.
She's the Mother Teresa of big cats.
Yes, but she does that with, like, Claire's flower crowns.
If I committed to anything as much as Carol Baskin commits to flower crowns and animal print, I would be so much more successful. So much more successful.
I know. Well, because I can think of a lot of things in both of our lives that, like, we've committed to style-wise for a while.
Yeah.
Like, even both of us did, like, half up, half down with, like, a hair scrunchie. Still love it, but I don't do it every day anymore. But I feel like she has committed to this for so many years. Like, when did she first discover the flower crown? Because, I mean, obviously, like, natural flower crowns from actual flowers and greenery have been around for forever. But, like, I'm talking the plastic headband ones that she wears. When did she first discover them?
I wonder what the oldest picture of Carol Baskin in a flower crown is.
What does she look like without a flower crown?
I have no idea. Like, that's probably, like, her disguise. Like, you don't even know what she looks like unless she's in her flower crown.
Love that.
It's like Clark Kent with his glasses. Like, he puts on the glasses and he's not Superman anymore. She takes off the flower crown, no longer Carol Baskin. One of the things I wrote down, because I wrote down a couple of my favorite Tiger King memes, and one of them was, there was a trend on Twitter that was, like, Tiger King a movie, and someone put The Lion, the Witch, and her wardrobe, and it was a picture of her. her cheetah or tiger print, cheetah print, and the flower crown. I thought that was so good.
Oh, that's awesome. I tweeted that her husband reminds me of Anton Ego from Ratatouille, like the food critic.
Yes.
Like, I just, there were so many good memes to come out of Tiger King.
One of the other things I wrote down about Carol Baskin is in episode three, the episode three is essentially the Carol Baskin murder episode. Like the whole plot comes out about what happened to her first husband and all that. That, to me, is the biggest plot twist of this series. Because in episode one and two, they give no inkling of, like,
yes,
any of that.
No, I completely agree. Well, and all of it was so crazy. I have it written down. What'd she say? Oh, the will that says, upon my disappearance? Bitch, what? Upon my disappearance?
That's crazy.
Like, that is so crazy. I just...
Also, that he literally said that, like, before he disappeared, that he was afraid that she was going to kill him. But also, her first husband, I'm going to say from what we saw, keep in mind, everything we're saying is very one-sided, just what we saw in the documentary. He seemed like an absolute creep. He picked her up when she was 19, and the way that they phrased it, I was reading this on Reddit, apparently in that area, it's kind of like code for being a prostitute, like walking down that one specific street. So he definitely, she was likely a sex worker. He picked her up and was like, hold this gun to my head while I drive. What? Like I'm not saying he asked, if she killed him, absolutely horrible and she should go to jail. But he isn't this perfect person.
You know, I just made the connection in my brain. I feel badly towards Carol Baskin because of the whole, like, keeping large animals in small cages and everything that she does with that thing. But I feel like the way I feel about her potentially murdering her husband is the way I feel when the Dixie Chicks sing Earl. And I'm kind of like, yeah, he sounds awful. Maybe you should murder him. Like, I'm kind of, I think she did it. I don't know. I feel like taking any human's life is really horrible and awful. But also, he doesn't sound like a great guy.
I also...
Like, he probably had it coming.
He only had himself to blame. If you'd have been there, if you'd have seen it, I bet you would have done the same.
I bet Joe Exotic's doing the Cell Block Tango right now.
Oh, I would pay so much money to see Joe Exotic do the Cell Block Tango in prison.
Oh. Who would he be?
But see, again, this is where everyone starts to feel like a character. Like,
yes.
Like,
he's an actual person who's actually in prison.
Right now. But also, in my brain, like, he's very much a character who would do the Cell Block Tango.
Well, even when I first texted you and Steven, being like, hey, you need to watch Tiger King. And you're like, oh, what's it about? I was like, a gay polygamous tiger owner who, like, yada, yada. Like, he's a character.
He's
like, all of these things don't typically coexist.
And I think it's as ridiculous and outlandish as all of this is, I keep trying to remind myself, like, these are real people. This is stuff that really happened. And, you know, they're all still living their lives right now.
Yes.
Also, another thing I wrote down, this is now moving into episode four. Joe Exotic wanting to outrank Carol Baskin when people search Big Cat Rescue, so naming his company Big Cat Rescue Entertainment, is so funny.
I wrote down, I feel like that's something that you might do. In, like, another life. Like, I feel like that... I feel like you're not a petty person, but I feel like if you were to get angered enough, it would be something very small and smart like that that you would do.
I think that is hysterical. I think it's so funny. Like, and then she was fully in her right to sue him because he was infringing on a trademark. But, like...
Yes. It's like, just... his images and everything, he named it Big Cat Rescue Entertainment. That would be like if I named a company Sierra Schultze Inc. Entertainment. And then I, like use like all your pictures and everything.
It's so funny. It's so funny. Another thing I wrote down for episode 4 is, sorry, we already talked about that. That was the everyone wanting to see a baby tiger, and Jeff using the baby tigers as bait to get women is so weird and so, but it also makes so much sense.
Yeah. I feel like out of everyone, I was the most clear with Jeff's intentions.
Yes.
Which, although he was my least favorite character, I get why he does this.
Yes.
It's like the money and the women and the power. It's like all of your typical motives.
Yes.
It's when it comes to people like Joe Exotic, who are still living on this like crappy zoo and not living the best life and still having to like be out there working every day, is where I get a little confused.
Where it's like
why they're doing it.
It's like, what is your motivation? I agree with you. Jeff Lowe is the only person who I'm like, I can tell exactly what you're about and I can tell exactly why you're doing this. Episode 5 is the one where Joe Exotic runs for president, which is another big twist I did not see coming in this series.
His campaign manager saying he didn't know what a libertarian was, but he ran as a libertarian. I just...
Also, I love his campaign videos so much. I love the campaign videos. I love that the Walmart ammo manager becomes his campaign manager. That is so comical and so such a character, right? That totally seems like something that someone would write in like a satire, like an SNL skit. This whole thing seems like an SNL skit.
I know. Well, and then his poor campaign manager. I do feel really bad for his campaign manager after like watching that final interview where he said that he needs counseling and... But all of that aside, like, I feel like he was such a meme. Like, him taking, like, his vape breaks and everything. Like, it just, it was really funny to watch. And I know it probably shouldn't have been, but I'm saying it, I laughed.
Also, again, I think the way that they handled Travis's death, possible suicide, not really sure what it was, awful, did not like it, not okay with it. Trying to set that aside so that I can point out this thing that I thought was really funny, and hopefully this isn't insensitive. Joe, at his husband's funeral, saying, quote, "He'd come and rub them balls in my face. They were like golden nuggets." And then the camera cutting to Travis's mom.
His mom? Oh my gosh. I just kept telling Kyle, I was like, I'll respect Milo for whatever life choices he makes, but it would be really hard. If these were the life choices he were to make.
If you went to a funeral and they were talking about your son's balls.
Like, it's so hard. Well, and that Travis was from San Diego, I think they said.
Oh, was he really?
Southern California. Wow. And so I can't imagine, like, your son moving away and, like, going on to, and I don't know. I feel like I want to be sensitive because he passed away. And
yep.
That whole situation is very unfortunate, but that funeral was ridiculous.
It was his costume, such a caricature, him singing.
Like, how is that a real funeral?
That's the thing. None of it feels real. It all feels like a caricature.
Which is...
It just feels like an SNL skit. Go ahead.
I was going to say, which is why it feels okay to laugh at it when it's not good to laugh at it.
Right, because then you're like, wait, no, this was an actual person's funeral who actually died a very tragic, untimely death.
Very tragic. He was way too young. There's substance abuse issues happening. Like, it's a horrific situation. And I feel like a lot of that is kind of in the tone that the producers of the documentary, like, set out for us, in that it all felt so humorous.
Yeah.
I feel like if it had been taken in a different direction or even just had a different director, it would be very different. And I'm grateful that it was, like, a fun, easy thing to watch, because I don't know if I could handle... I feel like it was already heavy. If it had had that, like, Blackfish energy that they had promised Carol Baskin, I don't think I would have been able to watch it.
I don't think I would have watched it, no. And I think that's why they made it such a caricature, and that's why they made it... it's absolute meme fodder. The way that they, like, package this whole thing, it is a meme. And that's why the memes that have come out of it are so ridiculous. And that's why it's so hard to remember that these are real people.
Yes, I completely agree.
Okay, two things that I wrote down about episode 7. These are just random little things that I didn't even really notice until my second watch through. Number one, interviewing the hitman as he takes a bath in a motel. Did you notice that?
I noticed. I liked that when, oh my gosh, John Finley was talking in his final interview. They were like, so, like, why were you shirtless in all of your interviews? He's all, it was a little cold, but it was fun. I was like, could you imagine if I just, like, shown up to this podcast, like, without my shirt on? I was all, I'm a little cold, but it's a little fun.
It's fun.
Like, the all of these interviews, and I feel like that's another thing. Like, the production quality of the interviews was really good. Like, all of them were in very interesting settings. I feel like it said a lot about their personality. The fact that one of them was shirtless, one of them was in a bathtub.
One of them was, like, in a pile of trash.
Yes. A literal pile of trash.
Another thing I loved in episode 7. I just wrote down Jet Ski James Garrison. Did you notice that? When he, like, rode up on the jet ski. And there was a part where he was, like, about to give, like, a thumbs up or, like, a peace sign. And then, like, halfway through, just, like, bailed.
Yes. I saw someone, I think someone said, like, I know what I'm doing with my stimulus check. Like, put a picture of that. Like, there were so many good memes. Like, how is that a person?
That is a real
he
person.
He had a camera crew
right
film
now.
Him on that jet ski. And he was like, this is a good look for me.
Do you have any other thoughts about the series before we get into our real thoughts on the last, like, the new episode, the kind of wrap-up of it all?
Let's see. I feel like we covered most of it.
Okay.
I think the only thing we didn't talk about was Soph losing their arm.
Okay. Yes.
I feel like, again, in another world, I could be this person that, like, I get my arm bitten off by a tiger and then I, like, don't stay in the hospital for as long as I need to and just, like, end up getting it amputated so that, like, my boss isn't mad.
And you can go back to work. You're right. Yeah. That's very you energy.
Well, and when I took, we didn't finish on the last podcast. I asked you to guess who I was, and you said Carol Baskin. I actually was Soph.
You are Soph.
Even though you think I'm Carol Baskin, which apparently you don't have totally negative feelings about her,
I do not have negative feelings towards Carol Baskin. And you know what? Did she kill her husband? It's a science point, probably. But, you know, she really believes in what she's doing.
And at the end of the day, I don't know. I feel like everyone's trying their best.
Not everyone.
I feel like, well, yeah.
Here, that's a good question. So I do think there's a lot of flawed people in this. I mean, we're all flawed people if we're getting deep about it. But there are a lot of people who make flawed choices in this documentary. But I also think there are a lot of people who are good people deep down in this documentary and are truly believe in what they're doing. And I think I'm interested to hear what you think. Like, who's genuine? I think Eric, the guy with the long blonde hair, rough around the edges, but genuine. I think John Ranke, the head keeper, the guy with the prosthetic legs, very straightforward guy who seems like he genuinely cares for the animals. Think Soph, he seems great. He seems, you know, interesting choice to decide to come back to work a couple days after your arm gets ripped off, but he seems genuine. He seems like a good person. Josh, the campaign manager, again, very interesting, but seems like a good person. John Finley, Rick, even Rick, the producer. Who do you think is genuine?
So I think it depends on what your definition of genuine is. And if you think that someone being genuine equals them being a good person. Because I think that pretty much everyone in the documentary was their genuine self. But I think that, like, you can only be manipulated so far. Like, I personally, I cannot imagine a world in which I was manipulated enough to shoot a tiger in the head, especially one that didn't have any sort of medical issues.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I think some people are genuine and still do that kind of stuff.
Right.
And so it's really hard. I feel like these people are put into hard situations. It sounds like a lot of them were just coming out of jail or, you know, really didn't have any other options. And so it started off as a way for them to get back on their feet. But the interesting thing is that all the people in the documentary have stuck around.
Right.
And so I feel like at a certain point, you must be back on your feet enough to go out and get a different job, even if that job is not glamorous. You know?
Working at the GW Zoo definitely didn't look glamorous.
Yeah.
Interesting, so, but not glamorous. Did you have any other notes about the first 7 episodes?
I don't think so. I think there were so many interesting things that happened that we didn't necessarily talk about, like all the footage burning and whatever. But I feel like there's just too much. There's too much to cover in one podcast.
There could be an entire podcast show just dedicated to Tiger King. And it would never get boring.
Yes. 100%.
Okay. Let's.
But I feel like what I'm really interested in hearing your thoughts on are the final interview, especially since apparently you hate Joel McHale.
Okay. So my first thing under the new episode, who is the host? ? Which you answered that question.
But Sierra, you also have to remember that for Love is Blind, they had Nick Lachey and his wife, Vanessa Lachey, and he introduced himself every time by saying, I'm obviously Nick Lachey. So maybe Netflix doesn't have the best choice who's relevant enough to be the host.
Can I say?
For their series.
I don't know who Nick Lachey is. I know he's the host of Love is Blind, and that's it. Who's Nick Lachey?
Do you know that he was married to Jessica Simpson? Do you know any of that?
No! What?
I feel like he was a little relevant in, like, the mid-2000s. I was never a Nick Lachey fan, but, like, I know he was married to Jessica Simpson, and they had their show together, and they got divorced, and I know all that. But
wait,
they had a show together? Yes.
Was he, like, okay, so you say he was relevant in the 2000s. Like, would he have been in, like, a Tiger Beat magazine in, like, 2005?
No, because I think he got relevant when he was old enough to get married.
Well, see, that's why.
So I don't think he was ever, like, a teenage heartthrob.
That's why I didn't know.
Like, my mom probably really likes Nick Lachey. I should ask her.
If you're listening, comment your thoughts on Nick Lachey. Okay, I'm trying to find my notes, because I wrote down my notes for the last episode based on the person that they were interviewing. So my frustration with the host is, and I didn't actually have like a big problem with the host. I just found some of his questions annoying. So those are sprinkled through. So let me find some of these. Okay. The interviewer I wrote down as a note under the interview with Jeff and Lauren, Jeff Lowe and Lauren, his wife. The interviewer kind of annoyed me, asking, how many leather jackets do you have? No one cares about that. Like, that's not what we're not watching this to know how many leather jackets Jeff Lowe has. That was 1,000% a question to just, like, make Jeff Lowe feel like they're friends. Like, just cut that out.
Like, also, the, like, constant someone on Facebook asked, was it sponsored by Facebook?
Who was it? Like, who was the person on Facebook?
I just, like, I would have loved to be on Facebook asking some questions. Like, I have a lot of questions.
Another note that I wrote about the interviewer was, here we go. I thought John Finley seemed kind of annoyed with the interviewer, which made me like John Finley more. Because John Finley just, like, was not.
Solidarity.
Yeah. So here's what I actually wrote. I said, John Finley seems better, good for him, but he seemed slightly off. I hope it's just that he was annoyed with the interviewer because same, LOL.
I mean, yeah. I think for me, my first thing I wrote down was, is it set decorated? Because Eric's setup looked like it was, like, professionally done. Like, he had, like, Coors Lights, like, neon signs around him. His lighting was beautiful. They obviously had a professional camera on him. He, like, had his AirPod in. And then it, like, I feel like progressively got worse to where I'm not sure. I think Eric might just have impeccable taste when it comes to, like, filming backgrounds.
Good for Eric.
Like, I'm also so, I'd be so interested to know the process of the people that they interviewed. Like, yeah. Obviously, they can't interview Joe Exotic. Obviously, Carol Baskin's pissed because she thought it was going to be this, like, Blackfish-esque documentary. So I get her not being on it. But it's just very interesting to see the people who either saw the documentary, saw what came of it, and still agreed to be in this now.
I agree.
Literally, my second note, I don't know if I can show it. I wrote, I like Joel McHale. So that's my second note. I didn't love him. I feel like I was pleasantly surprised. But see, I get all of your points. I'll switch over to your team.
I wasn't like, I don't hate Joel McHale. If that's whatever his name is, I don't know. But I just found him to not necessarily be...
asking, like, if we only get a 45-minute, like, kind of reunion-esque show.
Like, I don't need you to ask Jeff Lowe how many leather jackets he has. Like, you're not asking the hard-hitting questions.
Sierra, you know what this is. This is back in the day when we would go to a party together, and we would meet at, like, a girl or a guy, and one of us would be like, oh, yeah, they seemed all right. And the other person would be like, they said this to me. They did this. They did X, Y, and Z. And we just have to hop on the other team. So I'm on the I hate Joel McHale train.
Fantastic. Welcome to the club.
Good. Done.
Okay. I didn't have any other notes about Eric, the guy with the long blonde hair. Did you?
I wrote when he asked, I guess I understand your point. He asked if he washed his hair today. Which, like, is a redundant question, but he said, what's the point if I'm going to get peed on anyways? And I feel like having a 2-month-old boy, I get it. I really, that was the first time where I really related to Eric. I was like, you know what, Eric? I was planning on washing my hair today. What's the point if I'm going to get peed on anyways?
Oh, man, that is so great. Oh, my gosh. Okay, and then something I wrote about Jeff and Lauren. So a quote said by, I think it was said by Jeff Lowe, what's more disturbing, the wedding photos of Carol and her husband or the fact that Carol killed her husband?
I was deceased. I find this so entertaining. And it's really hard because it feels like we're, like, watching RuPaul's Drag Race and, like, the library is open and Jeff Lowe is just reading Carol Baskin and her husband.
Absolutely.
But they aren't friends. The library is not open. She is not a part of this interview. Like, those are her actual wedding photos. And I agree. They're real weird. But, like, she's not a part of this conversation, so you can't... I don't know.
You know what? I think if Carol Baskin wants her wedding photo and Howard Baskin, if they're both cool with it and their wedding photos being him dressed up like a tiger and her holding the leash, you're two consenting adults, go for it.
And I would actually like to retract my statement from earlier where I said Jeff Lowe was my least favorite. I think Howard was my least favorite.
Why?
Howard has the most punchable face I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I have never punched someone in my life. I would maybe punch Howard.
Why?
I mean, I have had a white claw. He looks like Anton Ego.
But he looks
like he has a stick up his butt.
But he was arguably, like, the least problematic person in this entire, like, one of the least problematic people in this entire show. And you just want to punch Howard Baskin.
I can't.
I think you and Kyle should go as Carol and Howard for Halloween. But you're Howard. He's Carol.
For Milo's first Halloween. I was all, who was I for my first Halloween? Do you have pictures?
Joe Exotic.
Here's you as a tiger. Don't worry about what Dad and I were. We didn't dress up that year.
That's awful. What I want. Did you have any notes about Jeff and Lauren's interview?
No, because I think we talked about it all.
Okay.
With a Hogwarts shirt, objectifying the nanny, et cetera, et cetera.
Next up was John Ranke, which was the guy with the prosthetic legs. I thought him saying Matthew McConaughey should play him in the Tiger King movie was so, like, wholesome and cute.
Okay, but that was the one point where I did get a little annoyed with Joel McHale, where he was like, oh, should play Joe Exotic? No. Let this guy think he looks like Matthew McConaughey.
He kind of does. Yeah.
So just, like, don't ruin it for him. Okay? Okay, Joel?
Also, I have not heard anyone say that Matthew McConaughey should play Joe Exotic.
Yeah.
Like, where,
like, where was that?
Facebook?
Maybe on Facebook. Also, him saying, I haven't worn pants in decades was a mood.
That was.
I also have not worn pants
in decades. I thought that was great.
That is a big safer at home mood. Oh gosh.
I didn't have any more notes on John Ranke, did you?
No, and then I think we talked about all of the rest of my notes.
Let me see if I had any.
Not Joe Exotic singing, all the people hooking up at the zoo, therapy is very important.
Okay, one last thing that I wrote down that we haven't talked about was Rick, the producer, on Moving to Norway. Quote, I can't even take a walk down to the fjord. On the popularity of Tiger King. Oh, man. It's just so famous. Can't even take a walk down to the fjord.
I loved it. I just... goals. Goals. I don't think I would ever want to be famous, but I would want my walk down to the fjord to be interrupted by people yelling, Tiger King! Also, we have a special guest.
Oh my gosh. Is
everyone, if you're not watching the video podcast.
Hi.
A very special guest.
Look at you, Milo. You cute boy.
I put him in this gigantic hoodie today. So,
Skylar
is currently wearing.
Skylar sent me a couple of really cute pictures of Milo in this big hoodie. And in one of them, he was making this cute little smirk where he literally just looked like you. Like, you make, that's a face that I have seen you make.
Aw. Well, I originally bought this hoodie for Toothless because he really likes to wear clothes. And then now Milo fits in it. So, full circle.
You know what's been, like, honestly one of the hardest things for me with social distancing is social distancing from Milo and then not getting to watch him, like, grow and develop. And it's just, oh my gosh, he's just the cutest thing.
I know. But someday soon, Hopefully. Someday soon we'll all be together again.
Well, and I'm so grateful for video chatting and social media, even just getting to, like, hear from you and how motherhood is and seeing him here. It's so freaking cute and it just makes my heart warm.
Well, I love you.
I love you. Do you have any last thoughts on Tiger King?
I don't think so. Do you?
No, I think it's just one of the weirdest experiences I've ever had watching a show, and I'm glad we got to talk about it. Let us know down in the comments your thoughts on Tiger King, and if you want to send your favorite Tiger King memes, I think both of us are here for that.
Yes, 100%.
My TikTok has become, like, entirely Tiger King memes.
Same.
All right. Well, we'll go ahead and end the podcast here then. Thank you guys for listening or watching or whatever you're doing. Just glad that you came and hung out with us. It was great getting to talk to you, Skylar, and great seeing you, Milo, cutest boy. Oh, look at you. Oh, you're so cute. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.